What's up, Life Point Church? Good morning. I'm so glad to be back. I'm ready. You ready? Come on now. My family and I have been away for a couple weeks, and it's just such a privilege to be back, and I'm ready to preach. Get your Bibles. We're going to Romans chapter 8. Before you get there, let me say what's up to all of you who are new with us today. If you're a guest at Life Point Church, we want to say welcome to you, and thank you so much for being a part of our services today. You're welcome here. If you're looking for a church, you found one, so quit looking. We're glad you're here. Just stick it out. And thank you for scooting in and making room. Just so you know, in about 3 weeks, we're going to have to go back to a four-service schedule because our fall time growth is always the highest. We estimate between 500 and 800 people will start joining us this fall. And so we got to make room for those folks. And so either come at 8 or come at 1 or make room for others to have your seat. But we're just so glad that you're here. And thanks for being a part of our service. Excited about baby dedications. That's always fun. And Communion Sunday. Also, everybody who's joining us online, through our live stream podcast, Facebook app, however you got here. We got my man Byron in Germany holding it down. The Germany campus, he PCS'd a month ago, and I said, just invite people to your living room and just have church with them. So he's been trying that, and so Byron, keep it up, man. Stay steady, and we're praying for you and all of our soldiers that are deployed and serving all around the world. We just thank God for you every single day. So it's great to be together online as well. So we're back in the book of Romans. Since you brought your Bible, like I said, go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 8. And I'm a little old school. I like to paper Bibles, you know what I'm saying? So if you didn't bring a Bible and you got a little fake Bible on your phone, that's fine too. You can also follow along in our app, the Life Point Church app. We have our notes and all that for you. But we're going to pick up in Romans 8 where Pastor Greg Ford, didn't he just kill it last Sunday, y'all? Pastor Greg just crushed it. In fact, if I've brought in guest speakers before and never have I felt like my job was threatened until Greg preached. They were like, you know what? It's okay if you're gone. Bring that guy back. So he did great. And at the end of the day, he got to get in the baptismal and baptize folks, and he literally, this guy, he goes, how do you want it, 1 to 10? And the guy goes, 25. He was the last one of the day, so he just picks him up out of the water, and just slams him down. It was great and holy, and if you missed it, then there's photos on our website. So I've titled the message today, Who's Your Daddy? Everybody say, Who's Your Daddy? I sent these notes in to my assistant for the TV and for the sermon notes for your bulletin, your worship guide, and she responded with Matthew Crowville. She gave me her dad's name, so I didn't really want to know. But anyway, I think this is a question that all of us need to wrestle with daily. Like, who's in charge of your life? Who runs you? Who controls you? Who is God of your life, really? That's what I'm asking you. So we're going to deal with that today from the text in Romans chapter 8. And Jesus asked this question a lot. In fact, he said to the religious people one time, these folks were like super duper religious, uber conservative when it came to like following the letter of the law perfectly. They had it all down. And you know what he said to them? He said, you're sons of your father, the devil. Boy, Jesus didn't play. You know what I'm saying? Like, he just went for it. So Jesus dealt with this all the time. Like, are you going to let God be your daddy, or are you going to be your daddy yourself? Are you going to let the devil run your life, or are you going to let the Spirit of God run your life? And that's really where Paul's taking us this week as well. So as you got to Romans 8, I wanted to kind of pull back a little bit and tell you some of the reflections that I've had over this last month and this time away. My wife and I, during this month of June, we celebrated 8 years as pastor of the church here. And it's been just the best job, the best calling, the best opportunity in the world. And we just praise Jesus for that. I don't take any credit for what God's done here. It's been amazing. But over that time, you know, while we were away, I took some moments numerous times to just reflect on some of the things that I just love about this church. And I just want to take a moment and brag on you for a second, if I can, and just tell you some of those reflections I have. And I'm going to weave it back into our message time. But I love and I'm humbled every day that I get to serve as your pastor, and I especially love the diversity of our church, you know, and the different types of folks that are here. In particular, I love our military and our armed services folks and those who serve police, firemen, EMT. I love that you allow me to come alongside what you do to keep me free so that I can freely serve you as your pastor. And I love what you do to keep us all free. Happy Independence Day, you know, and thank you for what you do. What a pleasure it is to serve you as your pastor. So thank you for your service to our nation. I love the age diversity of our church, from little babies being dedicated, the 2 and 3 month olds, you know, students, kids still like to grab me in the lobby, you know, and like hug me. And I love that. I love getting to hug these little kids and say, I love you. Keep it up. You know, be good to your parents. And their parents are like, please say that again. our teenagers, you know, we're still praying and looking for a student ministry pastor, and please be in prayer with us for that. Our young adults, college students, we got a bunch of college kids here and love what God's doing with Austin P. And then all the way through middle-aged folks and our senior saints. I love our gray-haired folks, you know what I'm saying? Like the Bible says to honor folks that are older and wiser than you, and I love the gray hairs. You know, they're the ones that I look to for prayer and spiritual encouragement, and they're the elders of the house, you know what I'm saying? And in fact, the Bible says let the older men and women teach younger men and women, and we need you. Hey, if you got gray hair and you got some age on you, you don't have to be perfect, just be better than us, you know what I'm saying? Like, help us out. And thank you for your Shoney's discount. Can I just be real clear? Like, I'm just thankful for that. All right, that's too far. I'm proud of this too. I just thank God, and I want to see more of this. I love the growing diversity in our church, whether it's ethnic diversity. I love seeing black and white, Hispanic, Korean. Man, I got to tell you, I pray over Hankook. I want every person at Hankook to know Jesus. You know what I'm saying? And I love the diversity racially here and economic diversity, the age diversity. I love how we are a church of people that culture would say we should be separating ourselves into different communities, but we rally together under Jesus. Amen, everybody. Isn't that great to know? I love that. We're many campuses, and we've got a future in more campuses. We've got our North Clarksville campus just killing it. They're about to go to two services this fall, and our daughter church in Smyrna, Tennessee. Hey, I admire single moms and dads. You guys are just holding it down, and I appreciate you. I love you. I'm proud of you. Keep it up. Keep it up. Keep it up. Listen, I know it's hard, okay, being a single parent. I get it. I know that. I'm the product of a single mom who busted her tail and worked two jobs to provide for her kids and never quit. And I'm just going to tell you, keep it up. I know this may not be the life that you planned, but God's with you, and so are we. LifePoint Church stands with you. Single moms, single dads, keep it up. We're proud of you. I love our teams at our church. I love our volunteers, our leaders, our staff. Our board is amazing. I'm going to tell you what, our board here is just so good. They're so humble and gracious, and I just love working with them. The security team, parking lot, all of our dream team, we have 1,000 volunteers a month that serve in this church to kind of keep it running. You guys run the church. And I thank God for you so much, whether you're running a camera or leading in worship, production crew. We just have so many things about this church to be thankful for. The reality is, LifePoint Church isn't a building. LifePoint Church is us. We believe that we are the church, and we exist to reach and to touch this world. And then it brings me back to kind of where I'm going with the sermon. There's a growing population of people in our church that I just really give thanks to God for. And it's those folks in our church who have opened their homes and opened their lives and their families to give space for kids and people in desperate need of a healthy family. They've chosen to either foster or to adopt. And I got to tell you, it's an honor for you to bring kids into your home, to give them your life, give them your money, give them your time, give them your food, even give them your name. It's a beautiful calling, and I love to see it here. I love praying over fostering parents. I've gotten a sign and fill out referrals, and our pastors, our staff, we've given referrals for folks who have felt called to be foster parents before. And I just think, man, that just reflects the heart of God so much, that you'd open your house and make space for others to just invade your life and then to just give it away freely. I just thank God for that. And honestly, it's a reflection of the heart of God that you would adopt someone else into your name, into your family. Have you ever thought about how amazing adoption really is? I mean, some of you have prayed about it. You've considered fostering or adopting, and you've thought about it. Maybe today's message is going to be confirmation for you to just head in that direction. But I got to tell you, I think it's a selfless act. I mean, I'm really proud of the different types of folks in our church. But in particular, this group just really stands out to me at times. It's so selfless and generous and godly. And honestly, it's the heart of God to take us, think about it. It's the heart of God to take us who don't belong to his family, who don't reflect his name or his heart or his values, and he openly invites us to belong to him. Not only to belong to him for an eternal afterlife, but to belong to him, no strings attached, to live in his kingdom, no cost to us. He paid the whole price. He invites us into his family. And listen to this, he'll give us his name, he'll give us his spirit, he gives us his nature, gives us his blessings, he gives us his benefits, and he even gives us his home. Man, there's something really powerful about that, and that God would take me, who doesn't look like him. I know it's a shock to some of you. I don't act like him all the time. I get it. You're surprised too. But God would call me in as a son and call you in as a daughter and say, you don't have to be perfect. I'm perfect. You don't have to pay for this. I paid for this. Hey, you don't have to live in your old name. Come carry my name. And honestly, when we think about adoption, it's the process of voluntarily taking someone into relationship, almost always a family relationship. And more specifically, it's voluntarily taking someone in to become a son or a daughter. And it always requires the choosing to take someone into your family from another family or from a lack of family. And that's exactly what God has done for us. You and I and everyone in the world are freely invited. Everyone in the world. Here's the thing, and some people will theologically argue with me about this, and you're welcome to be wrong too. But everybody in the world is freely invited into sonship with God through Christ. There's no way but to God but through Jesus. And it's an open call invitation. And everyone's invited to come in and become and leave their spiritual orphanhood and leave their lineage of sinfulness, and they're invited to become known and seen as sons and daughters of the Most High God. Now Paul is articulating what that means to become children of God. So I'm going to ask the question, who's your daddy? And I'm going to come back to this question numerous times. Here's the thing. I think a lot of us want the adoption on the back end of life, but we struggle to walk out this adoption life now. You know, I got a good friend of mine who attends here, he and his wife and their family's here, and they've got three adopted kids from another city, from another race, and they're growing to be taller than they are even. And yet they have the new last name. And so from now on, they're now known as this family name. They're now known as this, they belong to this family. You may come from a different place, you may look different, you may be taller than your daddy now, but you got this name now, and you're one of us, and you belong to us. And you know, it's really cool to watch the kids kind of grow into their new name and grow into their new family and grow into the new life of adoption. And it's the picture of God for us. So when God's adopted us into his family, here's what he gave. He gave us his name. But how many of you believe the Ten Commandments? Oh my gosh, help. Whew. Let's try this one more time. Just lie to me, okay? How many of you have heard of the Ten Commandments? Woo! Okay. We're gonna go back to page one. Let's just start over. Births and adoptions. That's where we're starting, right here on this. Okay. Ten Commandments. We've heard of them. How many of you believe the Ten Commandments? How many of you can quote all 10 of them right now from memory? Yeah. That's always a fun quiz. So number one, God's always first in your life. Number two, we don't worship idols, which includes a lot of things, not just statues, but maybe baggage and self. Number three is do not take the name of the Lord in vain. Now, many of us have grown up in church traditions that say, don't say God's name in vain. Don't say God's name in vain. Don't say, oh my God. We say, oh my gosh. And definitely don't you say GD, right? Y'all know that. God, bleep, you know. Because we've been told, don't say God's name in vain, but that's not the commandment. God's not that fragile. Oh, they said my name. He's not that fragile. The commandment is do not take his name vainly. You don't take the name of God. You don't take, I'm a son of God, I'm a follower of Jesus, and live like a son of the devil. You don't take the name of God. You don't take on the new family name and live like your old family. You don't take on a new family name and say, I belong to God now. I'm a follower of Christ. I'm a Christian. I'm a spirit-filled, blood-bought child of the Most High God, but yet I want to walk out like my old past, my upbringing, how I was born, how I was raised. No. We don't take God's name vainly. That's a way stronger command than don't say his name out of turn. Oh, my God. God goes, Jesus, did you hear that? I did. Get him. Don't take his name vainly. And that will be the challenge for the rest of our lives. Because we want eternal afterlife, but we struggle with eternal living. We want God of heaven, but not God on earth. And I just got to ask you, like, who's your daddy? If you've said yes to Jesus, you've taken a new name. And you know what that means is that you've said no to your old name. It means you've suppressed the truth of who you used to be. Well, I'm a Southern Democrat. Bless God, I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm a Northern Yankee Republican. Bless God, I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm not a white middle-class Republican, conservative Democrat, whatever. I'm a follower of Jesus. Paul says, imitate me as I follow Christ. Not as I follow Christ and then Caesar and then his governor over here and then my, you know, Mark Zuckerberg. You follow Jesus. hadn't preached in a while, y'all, so I'm kind of giving you a lot.
It's my bush.
I don't know why I always do that. I catch myself and then I go into George Bush. Follow Jesus.
Christianify.
It won't stop. I can't turn it off. It just...
Make him stop, somebody.
All right. I'm sorry. So go back in Romans chapter 8, 2 verses from last week.
Pay attention.
Look at this, verse 9. You, however, now he's talking about life in the Spirit, life as a follower of Christ. And what? Who's he talking to? He's writing the whole book of Romans to who? Believers in Rome, which was a pagan nation, a collection of cities and nations. And these are people who have now converted to Christ. And now he's talking to them like they belong to something different. He goes, you now are not in the flesh, but in the, is that a capital S in your Bible? Okay, because there's a lowercase s coming. I'm going to show you the difference in a moment. But this is now, you are in the Holy Spirit. You're in the Spirit of God. Now, Paul is a terrible 7th grade English grammar student. Paul loves run-ons. Watch what he does here. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. And here, I kind of bracketed it off for you. If in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. Now, let's look at this verse for a second. It's really powerful. He said, you're not in the flesh anymore. What does it mean to be in the flesh, right? It's in your nature. It's in your old ways. It's in your sinful habits. It's in your upbringing. It's in your baggage. It's in your it's in your history. It's how you were born or how you were raised. It's your predispositions, your upbringing. We are not people of the flesh anymore. He says we are people of the Spirit, but it's not even your spirit. He's not saying you be a spiritual you. He's saying you be a holy spiritual led by me. You're not of the flesh, but you're in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Well, how do we know that? How do we know the Spirit of God dwells in us? First of all, notice some language here. He calls it the Spirit of God. He calls it the Spirit as in Holy Spirit. And then he calls it the Spirit of Christ. Don't we see Trinity in this passage, by the way? Isn't that great? So he's talking about that they're all really one. They're all together in concert. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they're all working together towards you. He says, you're not in the flesh anymore if you're in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God dwells in you. So how do we know? Anyone who doesn't have the Spirit of Christ doesn't belong to him. So how do I know if I have the Spirit of Christ in me or not? How do I know if I have the Holy Spirit in me? Well, look at verse 10 and 11. He said, but if Christ is in you, although your body is dead because of sin, now like your physical body, you still have sin issues, right, everybody? Come on. Who struggles with their sin? We're going to do this. This is one of those mornings, right? Who struggles with your sin in your body? So look what he says. You have the Spirit of God in you, even though you have temptation issues and flesh issues and sin issues. Watch. But the Spirit, if Christ is in you, although the body's dead now because of sin, like you don't have to live according to your body anymore. If you have Christ in you, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Is it your righteousness? No. It's God's righteousness coming alive in you. Look, how do we overcome our sin? How do we overcome our flesh? We let the righteousness of God come alive. We let the Spirit of God dwell up in us. And the Spirit is life, capital S, because of righteousness. If the Spirit of God, him who raised Jesus from the dead, that's a huge deal. Never before and again has a 3-day-old dead guy come out from the grave smelling good. Walking, talking, eating. If the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also now give life to your mortal bodies. How do we let our bodies have life? Is it by hustling and grinding and buffeting and disciplining our body? Or is it by letting the Spirit have his way and let God be your daddy? Here's what he said. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, and he's the one that gives life to your mortal body. He's the one that lets you overcome sin. He's the one that lets you walk this life like an eternal being, like you don't belong in this world, like you're an alien, you're a passerby. I'm a son of the Most High God. I'm just drifted through here until I make it to my home in heaven. Come on, somebody. If the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So how do we know that the Spirit of God dwells in us? Is it because we do weird things? Is it because we go to a church that believes in the Holy Spirit? Let me tell you something. We can't be Christians without the Holy Spirit. We can't be Christians without the Holy Spirit. There's no Christian life without the Spirit of God leading the way. We worship and serve the Father. We worship and serve the Son. We worship and serve and live life through the Holy Spirit of God. They're never separate from each other, which means they're never separate in you. God is Trinity. God is three in one, and you can't just fear God the Father, right? Like some of us have this view from Sunday school or religion where we think God the Father is this old white-haired dude with a lightning bolt who created everything and just sits up there like this waiting on us to screw up. Did they say my name? And then we got Jesus, the pacifying hippie son, you know, with the sand Birkenstocks and long hair going, hey, man, peace, bro, peace, bro. I took that, no problem, you just be you. That's a little Trump. Do you? Let's get back to Jesus. And we think Jesus is just like this forgiven fool who just like, oh, you just do whatever, you just do you, be your best you. You live out you, and I'll just forgive it. And then we think the Holy Spirit's this weird cloud that like makes people do stuff that we're not comfortable with. God the Father and Son and Spirit are never separated. They're always in concert with one another. They're always doing the same thing, and they're always for you. They're always working in you. They're always drawing you and compelling you and calling you forward. Never does God stand over you in condemnation or judgment or anger. He stands over you in love because you're a son. You're a daughter. You're the apple of his eye. You're the best thing he's got going. You're his favorite. Everybody say, I'm God's favorite. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm God's favorite. Now look at your other neighbor who you clearly didn't see he wanted to talk to. And go, no, for real, me, I'm God's favorite. You can't be a Christ follower without the Holy Spirit. Because if you try to follow Jesus in your own flesh, in your own strength, you're just following religion. We must be led by the Spirit. It's the Spirit of God who dwells in us. It's the Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead. Can you believe the same Spirit of God that physically blew life back into Jesus Christ and healed him completely, except for scars on his hands and feet, lifted him out of the grave and anointed him and sent him. That same Spirit doesn't just kind of look over you. He doesn't just hang out in church gatherings. He dwells in you. It's the very breath of God taking up residence in you like every day. And I don't understand how in the world would we ever want to live in a way or believe in a way or walk in a way that's outside of the very presence of God's breath in me. So many times we've made religion about what we do and don't do, the rules, the little robots, you know, like, and we get on these obedience kicks where it's like, I've been super obedient this week. God must be happy with me. He's not more or less pleased with you by anything you've done. He's totally pleased in Jesus. And when you've hitched yourself to Christ, he's pleased in you. And guess what? When you screw up, he's still pleased in Jesus. And when you go, God, I messed up, he's like, I know. I watched the whole thing. Some of us come to God like, oh, man, I got to confess, like telling a principal, here's what I did. We think God's going, really? Huh, tell me more about that. God just sits there going, I know, but that's just not the life I have for you because you have my name and you don't need to live in your old name. There's no life in Christ without the Holy Spirit. That's who dwells in us. That's who calls us. That's who convicts us of sin. You call it guilt and shame and condemnation. That ain't from God. That's from the devil and church folks sometimes. Oh, y'all ain't ever been in them churches before? Yeah, I have. She has too. Amen. Man, that girl is cute with that bow. Oh, my goodness. So I got to get into my actual sermon notes. Y'all get anything out of it so far? Look, I mean, these two verses will change your life, but watch this. The Christian life is, it's living and dying life. This is the life of living and dying. How many of you like we love Christianity. It's all about living your best life now, how to have, you know, more and more and more of your life. I don't want more of my life. I want all the life that God's given me. I had a mentor tell me one time, I want to be free to do everything God's called me to do and given to me and careful not to do anything else. I just think that's a better way. I don't want more of me. I want more of him in me. You know what I'm saying? So the Christian life is a life of living and dying. So watch what he says in verse 12. So then, brothers, We are not debtors. We are debtors, but not to the flesh, to live according to your flesh. For watch this, we explain what the flesh is. It's your old habits, your propensities, your how you were raised, your upbringing, your whatever. We don't come to Christ and live in debt to our flesh anymore. You're not in bondage to that stuff anymore. Watch this. If you live according to the flesh, you will. Isn't that interesting? Paul says, if you live this way, you'll die. If you live, you'll die. How? If we live according to us. If we live according to culture and our own baggage, and we just live according to how we just want to live our best life now. You know, that sounds really good and sells a lot of books. But honestly, the first chapter of a book called Your Best Life Now should say, die. Die to you. Die to yourself. Die to your own flesh. Die to your desires. If you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if by the, say it with me, by the Spirit, is that a capital S? So lowercase s would mean your spirit, or by your strength, right? If by the Spirit, watch this, you put to death the deeds of the body, then you'll live. Now, here's the trap of religion. Religion teaches you that by your spirit, you put your flesh under control. But Paul is just telling you that by his spirit, he'll help you put your flesh under control. This is how you get your life under control. How do you have a more self-controlled life? You remember in Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Did you know self-control is a fruit of the Spirit? Like, you can control you because the God, his Holy Spirit, will empower you to control you. Some of you are begging God to just possess you. You're going, God, if you really want me to stop looking at porn, then take over my computer. God, if you want me to stop yelling at my kids, then just cut out my tongue. God, if you want me to stop being a drunk, then just control me, possess me. God's not a possessor. He's an empowerer. And he will empower you to control your life because it's evident of a new name that the very Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you well enough that he will let you live out a life that reflects your new family. It's the Spirit of God who dwells in us. Who's your daddy? You know, many of us think that, maybe I'm just talking for myself. I keep saying many of us think, and I don't know what you think because I'm not in your brain. But I've been pastoring long enough to talk to a bunch of you. And many of us think that we got to like grind it out and hustle it, and then when we screw up enough, God's mad at us. Anybody ever felt that way besides me? Okay, good. So some of us think. Jesus said this in his gospel. He said this in John 17, I think. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Amen. Remember that verse? Now, I got to tell you, you ever get into like a text battle with somebody where you misread the tone in their inflection? It's like, hey, what time's dinner? What do you mean, what time's dinner? When are you bringing dinner home? No, I was just curious when to be, you know what, I better call. Hey, babe, I was just curious, you know, like, when's dinner? And sometimes we read the Bible and we don't hear the tone of the voice that said it. And some of us read that verse that Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Anybody read it that way before? I'm sure you have. Hey, you want to prove your love to God? Keep his commandments. What if Jesus said it like this? If you'll love me, just grow in love with me. You'll keep those commandments. I mean, it just sounds a lot more consistent with his nature, doesn't it? Like, hey, you just draw close to me. We'll take care of this. Matthew 6, you seek first the kingdom of God and my righteousness. You don't have to be right. Let me be righteous for you. Let me be perfect. I'll rub off on you. I got you covered. You just seek me first and all that I got going on, and we'll take care of all this stuff. You could come in love with me. You come grow in love with me. Yeah, you'll keep those commandments. Don't even worry about it. But instead, we've been taught, if you love Jesus, you'll follow his commandments. You know what that is? It's bondage to fear. Slavery. Paul just said that you've not been given a spirit of slavery, but adoption, right? So we're debtors not to the flesh, but to live according to the Spirit. For if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your body, you'll live. This is such an incredible paradox. He says, if you live according to how you want to live, you'll actually die. It's the Garden of Eden all over again. God said to Adam and Eve, he said, when you eat of this fruit, you will surely die. And he didn't mean a physical death, like they're going to go, X's on their eyeballs, right? Anybody else watch cartoons as a kid? What he means is you'll have spiritual death and separation from me forever. You're choosing to be your own daddy, and I'm not going to share my throne with anybody. If you live according to your flesh, you'll die. We think that this kind of freedom is actually freedom, but it's actually bondage. Pastor Greg said, we're not free, we're lost. But then he goes on to say, but if you follow Jesus, if you claim to follow Christ and you live your life by the Spirit, then you're putting to death the flesh. That's real life. So the tension for us who belong to Jesus, really, since we belong to Christ, since we're part of his family, our new life of living looks nothing like our old life of dying. So now look at this. The Christian life, and I love this part, is sonship with God. Everybody say, I'm a son or a daughter, if you're a girl, you know. Some of you actually said, I'm a son or a daughter. The Christian life is sonship with God. Verse 14, all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. And here's where he said, you didn't receive a spirit of slavery. God didn't adopt you into his family to put more burdens on you. His burden is on him. He didn't adopt you into his family to go, now here's the rule book. Could you imagine adopting someone into your family and basically making them the stepdaughter like Cinderella, and all their job is to do is to clean and scrub and like suffer and live in the attic? And some of us have like embraced the Christianity that somehow we think God's adopted us into this life for life to be dull, boring, and hard. You've not been adopted into a spirit of slavery or bondage. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Look at this. You've received the spirit of adoption by which we cry out, Abba. Now, most of us don't know this word except for the 70s, you know, band, Abba. But Abba is it's an ancient word that means dad, daddy, papa. And you call him father. Notice they're both with exclamation points. You've received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry out, daddy, papa, father. How many of you know there's a difference in positional fatherhood and relational daddyhood? Like, there are moments in my house where I have to be father. I got to put down some direction and some strength and some positional strength, and I got to be father. But most of my life in my house is daddy. And here's the deal. You didn't come into the family of God just to get a religious positional father in heaven. And if that's all you think of who God is in your life, you're missing the other part of who he is, the relational papa. The dad who you just crawl up in his lap in your prayer life. You just get up in his bosom, right? He says that you're the apple of his eye. You are the pleasure. You're the center of his affection and his pleasure. You're his favorite. When you speak, it's like he hushes the angels who are worshiping him all the time. And he goes, shh, shh, my boy's talking to me. My girl's talking to me. What you got, girl? I'm here. Papa's here. Abba's here. Look, he gives this kind of conditional language here at the top. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Now, it's not saying, this isn't are y'all getting anything out of this? I feel like I'm preaching like out of my passion. Okay, that's fine. I just want to make sure. Because I don't want to go down too many rabbit trails because I could. He said, all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. He's saying, like, these are my people. Not because you did this thing or went to that place or gave this money or go to that church. You're not sons and daughters of God because you behave right. It's because you're led well. It's you're led by the Spirit. See, some of us are trying our best to behave our way to God, and he's inviting you to belong to him. Like, come and just let him lead you. So look what he says. All who are led, so this is us, and we're being led by the Spirit of God. These are the children of God. When the Holy Spirit's our Father. God's our Father, and he leads the way. Now, the question is, if this statement is true, is the contrary of this statement true? All who are not led by the Spirit of God are not sons of God. So there are plenty of people who believe in this guy, believe in God, but aren't led by him. Amen. So who's your daddy? And here's the thing. Being led by the Spirit isn't hard. It's being led, like, all you got to do is show up and follow. It's not hard to be led by another, by somebody who's smarter and better than you. You ever get a good commander, you know, who's like, and you just trust, and you just... My wife hates when I drive. She just hates it. She thinks I'm a dangerous driver. It's something about when I text. I don't know. But but you know, my kids don't care because they trust that I'm going to get them from here to there and they're going to get there safely. There's something about just following willingly someone that you trust in their leading. And do you trust the Spirit of God to lead you? Do you trust that the Spirit of God can lead you into forgiveness and grace? And God can lead you into wholeness in your singleness and your brokenness and your singleness again? Do you trust that God can direct you with a job and a career? Do you trust that your hustle is actually not as strong as the leadership of the Holy Spirit? Do you trust that God can lead you through provision and through healing and through peace and through relational pains? Do you trust that God can lead you? All who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So if you refuse to be led by him, who's your daddy? Is it you? I mean, these are just the ways that I think through scriptures. Like, are y'all seeing this too? I mean, like, these are questions that I think we need to ask ourselves. So look, the life of a Christ follower is a life of living and dying. Paul says later in Philippians 1:27, whatever happens, live your life in a way that honors the gospel. Follow the Lord. Let the Spirit of God dwell in you and live in you. So we've been given a spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. So now finally, now that we've been adopted as sons and daughters, we got to realize something. The Christian life is now family life. You ever go to church and you hear people call you brother or sister? Hey, Brother Mike. I don't know why they all sound so country when they call me that. Sister Stephanie. True story, Stephanie and I were on a cruise for the last part of our vacation. We got to go to Alaska towards our anniversary. And there's a couple that used to attend here, Brenton and Laurel. I actually introduced them. It was fun. I introduced them in the lobby. And I go, Brenton, I think I met your wife. He's like, all right, Brother Mike. Yeah, where's she at? And I go, that's her, man. I go, you do the rest. So I married them a year later. So they were on their anniversary weekend, their two-year anniversary trip. And Brenton is the only guy, like, who cannot call me Mike. It's always Brother Mike, Brother Mike. And he talks like this all the time. He's always trying to, like, out-manhood you, you know what I'm saying? Hey, man, how you doing, Brother Mike, Brother Mike? But part of that, I don't know why I told you that story. But anyway, part of that is that we are a family now. We're brothers and sisters in Christ under one Father, our Father God, led by the Spirit of God, with our great, great God, Jesus Christ. Watch what he says, verse 16 and 17. So now the Spirit himself, notice again, we're back at a capital S. So the Holy Spirit of God, we've seen it as the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit of God himself bears witness or makes interface or connects with our spirit. Now, is this lowercase? So this is your spirit. Did you know you have a spirit? Your body, soul, and spirit. And how do we know that we're connected to God? Because the Spirit of God bears witness with the spirit of you. And what does he witness to? That we're children of God. You know what the Spirit of God's never going to do? Make you feel like a failure. He's never going to condemn you. He's never going to crush you and pulverize you in shame. He's always going to go, hey, son. Hey, daughter. Don't forget your sonship. Don't forget your new name. Don't forget you've been adopted. Don't forget who you belong to. You don't have to live that way because the Spirit of God who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. And I'm going to empower you to self-control. And I'm going to help you live inside your new name. And you are a son and a daughter of God. And we get to walk closely and look. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. And if children, look at this. Hey, family, if we're children of God, then we're heirs with God. We're heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Isn't it great that God doesn't adopt us in but leave all the good stuff to his real son? Isn't it cool to know that he doesn't adopt us in and go, no, you can eat at the kids' Thanksgiving table. He goes, you get to come at my banquet table. He prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. And he who dwells in the house of the Lord shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Thank you, Lord God, that I get to have everything that he has available at his disposal because I am now an heir. I've been fully grafted in, fully adopted in. I'm not a stepkid. I'm a child of God. And look what he says. You're a co-heir with Christ. Can you believe that eternal life that Jesus has, we will have? Glorified body that Jesus has. You know, God the Father doesn't have a glorified body. He's just God the Father. He is and was and forever was. Jesus came in the flesh, but Jesus got the hookup at resurrection. He got a new body. I believe my new body is going to be Arnold-ish. You feel me? You got to get down. What's wrong with me? I don't know. But that's going to be my glorified body. Here's the thing. Co-heirs with Christ, we get everything Jesus got. We get eternal life. We get authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions. Hello. Did you know that as a follower of Jesus, you get to look the devil in the face and go, do you know who my daddy is? Do you know who my bro, JC, in-house is? Don't step to me, Satan, because I'm a co-heir with Christ. I got a legion of angels at my disposal. Sucker. Back down in Jesus' name. I don't know why I get so like hood when I say that kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just comes out of me. My inner Omar Epps comes out. Juice. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. All right. Tupac. Some of y'all don't even know. Y'all need to get TBS so you'll know what I'm talking about. All right. I haven't preached in 5 weeks, and this is what happens. This is what happens. I can't. But this is the life that God has come to give us. We should laugh and be joyful and thank God that I am a son of the Most High God. Satan can't touch me. All the devils of hell can't even front me because I walk in the anointing of God, in the power of Jesus, in the anointing of his Spirit who dwells in me. You know how to overcome sin? Draw near to Jesus. You know how to walk in victory? Draw near to Jesus. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let the Spirit of God overcome you every single day. Listen, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. And if we're children of his, we've been adopted, grafted, and we have his name. We have his heirship. Look, we are heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. And look, we will suffer with him. Come on now. But we will also be glorified with him. I thank God that I'm going to be glorified with Jesus. We're going to walk the streets together. He's going to be like, look at you, man. I'm going to be like, oh no, it's awesome. Boom. It's going to be great. Who's your daddy? When I look at these adoptive families, I look at their sons and their daughters, and I just love to see their countenance change because some family made room for them in their lives. It made room for them to have a new life, a new identity, new purpose, new joy, new hope. And you put your arm around them and you're like, how you doing, man? And it just, there's a newness about who they are because they got a new daddy and they got a new mama. And I got to tell you, some of you have been on the fence about fostering and adoption, and you should do it. If God's calling you to do it, do it. It's a great, mighty reflection of the heart of God for us. But these 9 verses are absolutely world-changing. I mean, you go back and slow read 9 through 17 and just get a pen, get a highlighter, get a marker, something, just underline. I mean, if you've been trying to live life on your own, do religion out of your own effort, if you've been trying to find family with heaven on your own, we're all orphans, ultimately. And everyone here is equally lost without God our Father, without Jesus our Savior, without the Holy Spirit, our filler, our comforter, our baptizer, our teacher, our empower, our master. Please don't freak out about the Holy Spirit, because he is God in you. See, we taught our kids when we were little, all of us did this. We're going to pray this little prayer. We're going to invite Jesus to come into our hearts. The problem with that theologically is Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father. And I don't think they're splitting him up into little micro-Jesuses to come be in your heart. But in fact, Jesus said in John 14, I'm going to go be to the Father, and the Spirit of God will come and dwell in you. It's not Jesus who lives in your heart. It's the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. And there's no life of a Christ follower without being led by the Spirit of God. Because all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. So let me ask you, how you doing? How you doing as a son or daughter? Who's your daddy? If it's you, can I just caution you and invite you to lay yourself down and die to that and let Christ have reign of your life? Let the Spirit of God rule in you. Because the reality is God will not share his throne with anyone. He doesn't get 90% and you can have 10%. He doesn't tithe leadership of your life back to you. You know what I'm saying? Who's your daddy? Is God leading you? Are you living in your flesh? Are you demanding God and expecting his grace to overlook everything? Or have you voluntarily yielded your life to adoption into this new family? It's the process of orphans leaving one set of parents to identify with a new father who paid for everything. And they end up reaping all these benefits. They have full inheritance. They have a new name, a new life, new hope, joy, peace, and love. So let me just ask you again clearly. Is God your father? Is the Spirit of God leading you? Or is it you? If you're led by the Spirit, then your flesh has to die. If you're led by your flesh, you will die. It's just not worth it, is it? So I want to teach you how to pray for this. Because there's no formula to just fix this. This is the journey every day of your life. Can we stand together? Every day, I want to invite you to pray this kind of prayer that I'm going to lead you in. And this is what I try to pray every day. At some point in my day, I try to pray this way every day. By the way, I believe in praying in the Spirit. I believe in letting the word come out of my mouth, but I also believe in praying in ways that I don't understand. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, that he'll actually give you language to pray that doesn't make sense. And I believe that's part of letting the Spirit of God fill us. But in the vernacular, these are ways that I pray, and I want to teach this to you today. And let me just invite you all, first of all, if you don't follow Christ at all, I'm going to lead us there first. And then I'm going to invite you, I'm going to teach you how to pray that the Holy Spirit leads you every day. I'm not even asking you to check your sin boxes today. I just want to ask you to get closer to Jesus. If you love me, you'll keep my commands. No. If you'll just love Jesus, you'll get the commands. Don't worry about that. Just come and come away and love Jesus. Can we open our hands to the Lord this morning? Some of you are like, this is so uncomfortable and awkward. Ain't nobody watching you. Come on. Let's lift our hands to the Lord. And I want everybody to pray this with me first. We're going to commit ourselves to Jesus first. And then I'm going to teach you how to pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit and how to be led by the Spirit of God every day. Everybody say this. Say, God, I believe in Jesus. Come on, say, he died for my sins so that I don't have to. He paid the price in full for me. I confess my sin. I ask for forgiveness. And I submit my whole life to Jesus today. I'll never be the same. I will live with you forever. I receive your salvation in Jesus' name. Come on, nobody look around. Keep your eyes closed and just do me a favor. Nobody's watching. Just if you prayed that today and you're committing your life to Christ, just so I know, I'm not even gonna ask you to move. Can you just wave your hand at me so I can know somebody? Come on. Oh man, that's so amazing. People are giving their lives to Jesus today, y'all. Now everybody in the room, if you're a new believer, an old believer, you just gave your life to Christ, everybody, I'm gonna teach you how to pray to be filled with the Spirit, led by the Spirit every day. This is what I do sometime during my day, every morning. Usually when I'm driving or taking a shower, I start it and I'll say it again in the afternoon. Sometimes when I'm dealing with my kids, I gotta say it a couple times, you know what I'm saying? Or get on Wilmer Rudolph traffic, I gotta say it a few more times. Come on, everybody, lift your hands to the Lord and say it like this. Holy Spirit, have your way. Say, I'm yours, all of you, less of me. Fill me, Holy Spirit. Empower me, Holy Spirit. Enable me, Holy Spirit, to live for you. Say, lead me, God. I am your currency. Spend me at your pleasure. Now, come on, lift your voice to God this morning. Come on, call out to God today. Call out some prayers to him and say some things to him that just yield your life to God. Say, Lord, I'm all yours. My mouth is yours. My hands are yours. My feet are yours. My behavior is yours, Lord God. I put it into your hands. I thank you, Lord God, that you desire to fill me from the inward places. Lord God, that you desire to put new words in my mouth, to prophesy and to preach the gospel to other people. Lord, you're going to help me overcome temptation and overcome sin and overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means overtake us. God, I'm yours. I belong to you. In the name of Jesus, to God be the glory. Can we give the Lord a shout of praise this morning? God, we bless your name. We worship you, Lord, and we thank you that you are with us this morning. If you want more prayer, if we can pray with you as a team, let us come and pray with you, and we'll close out in worship. Last thing we do before we head out. I love you, Life Point Church. God bless you.